Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Raw, The Fight Within, a brand new podcast series hosted by me, Coogan Cassius. Over the course of the series, I'll be sitting down with some of the most high-profile figures from the world of boxing, including fighters, trainers, and promoters, in order to dig a little deeper and understand their own personal stories. This podcast is about much more than simply what happens inside the ring. It's about the journey, the sacrifices, the agony, the ecstasy, the highs, the lows, the tears, and the fears. It's about getting to know the person. Thank you for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoy it. If you do, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. This podcast is suitable for over 18s only, as it may contain adult content and explicit language. Hello and welcome to Raw, the Fight Within podcast with me, Coogan Cassius. This week I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Miss GB. Can I still call you that?
Yeah, call me whatever you want. I've been called Wes.
Natasha Jonas. How are you?
I'm good. All good.
Yeah, in Liverpool. Doesn't seem to be loads of fights happening in Liverpool over the last however many years. There's been the odd one here and there, but this is always a city where it was always known for its fight nights quite regularly, but
yeah, I think it's in our past part of our heritage. The two biggest sports in Liverpool, I would say, is football and boxing, and we're divided on many things, but boxing we're united.
Absolutely. Right, I'm going to start you off quite easy into this, and then we'll see how we go on. What for you as a kid? What was your kind of first ever early memories of boxing, just in general?
My very, very first memories is me. I've got two older boy cousins who was the ones that, like, they love sport and they was always playing footy and whatever. And so I did everything they did, and I was allowed out, but as long as I was with them. So my first ever memory of boxing is that we always wanted to fight when I was like, stop fighting, stop fighting, stop fighting. So we invented, we always used to invent things because we didn't have the money to buy it. We invented a way of making a gum shield. So we used to get my nan's, like, Kleenex that she, you know, the tissues that you put in them things, and we'd fold it up into a way, put it under the water, so obviously it was soggy tissue, put it in our mouths so it'd mould to our mouth, and put it in the freezer.
Okay.
And then after an hour, we'd come back, put it in, it'd be a gum shield, we'd punch each other. So that's my earliest memory.
Did that idea ever take off? Of how to make a gum shield?
No, but I did do it in an Everlast advert once.
Did
I think.
You really?
Yeah, only on a little TikTok thing. Oh. As a childhood memory of boxing. So yeah, that was my first. But you know, fight nights watching with my dad. That's probably like me of professional boxing. That was my first ever memories, and it was like a thing to do. I was allowed to stay up late, and yeah, I was allowed because it was mostly in America at that time. Mm. So I was allowed to stay up late and watch the boxing with my dad. So.
Do you remember the first ever fight you went to?
Oh, God. It was... It could have been a Nigel Benn one, you know. I was a little bit too young at the time to appreciate it. And I sat on my dad's meat knee, asking him to tell me stories, like, most of the time. But I had a fond memory of that whole night because he was telling me the stories. But I think it was an Nigel Benn one. And after that, we went back and I was a bit older and I, like, watched the actual flight. And that was Mikey, oh, what's his name? Little Mikey from Manchester.
Gomez?
No. Why can't I think of his name? I was mates with him for years. Oh, that's going to annoy me. Bantam. Oh, it might have been like that. Mikey. Oh, that's going to annoy me.
If it comes back to you, okay, just bring it back. For yourself, like, whether you're a fan or obviously you're heavily involved in the sport, but do you have someone that kind of inspired you into even watching boxing back when you was a kid? Everyone's always got one person that kind of maybe, for me as a fan, I've always said it's Prince Nassim Hamid that got me even started watching boxing. But for yourself, was there someone that...
I never wanted to be a boxer, so it was just like, it was just a thing to do. And I love watching sports. I watch any sport. So at first, it was just a thing to do with my dad. And that's how, like, it was. So I'd probably testament it to my dad. But if you're coming down, talking about boxers, actual boxers, then probably Mike Tyson. I remember his first Holyfield fight, which is the, like, yeah, I remember where I was sitting in the living room. I remember I kept on nodding off and, you know, waking up with dad saying, oh, it's on. So, yeah, it was probably Tyson.
Because in terms of kind of women's boxing, obviously when you're asking men about who inspired them, and normally it is a male that's coming back for the male answers, but you're in a peak period of boxing and you've been involved in that from the start. Over the last few years, obviously there was women's boxing prior to whatever year. But yeah, I think young girls now, I suppose if you ask them who got them into boxing, they could mention you, they could mention Katie Taylor, or the crop of very good women fighters that we have now. But I suppose, yeah, Mike Tyson's one that's very common amongst everyone who loves boxing.
Like, you come when you're talking about big fights, I think that was my first ever one was the Tyson and Holyfield, but there was also the Eubank, Ben and Collins era, which as a Brit, they were they got me invested. So I mean, the big fights and the obviously the heavyweights, and Tyson and Holyfield are two massive names. It was a massive occasion, so that was the fight that I remember. I'd say like that one fight. But when you're talking about like how much it meant to us, and like with the Ben and Eubank, like, you just had to choose a side. You could, no one ever in that time sat on the fence. You either chose that one or you chose that one, and they didn't, like, you know, there was a lot of heated discussion. There was no like social media or anything in them days, but like the fans were quite staunch on each side, you know what I mean? So like as a Brit, I was fully Ben. I cried. I remember crying. I literally shed tears when he retired. And I hated Chris Eubank for years.
Do you ever think about if you hadn't got into boxing, where you'd be or what you'd be doing today?
God only knows. I think I would like to think if it wouldn't have been boxing, it would have been another sport. Because, like I said, I never intended to start from boxing. I was football through and through, and that didn't work out. And I was lucky enough to pick up boxing and turn out half decent at that. So I'd like to think that if it wasn't boxing, it would only be something else.
Do you think it could have been football? You said that it didn't quite work out for you, but do you think that if boxing kind of hadn't come your way when it did, that part of you could have then pushed that side of football more?
Yeah, well, at the time, the injury that I had meant it was the end of my football career, and I was 2 years out of playing, and, you know, 2 years in any sport at a high level is a long time. And, you know, it's, if I look at football now and my little sister, and I think I'd never get in a team now, ever, not even close. But at the time, you're talking, you know, Yankee times, that I was, you know, I was decent.
Do you remember as a kid any kind of, away from boxing, any kind of serious argument or altercation that you ever got into away from any kind of boxing situation?
Honestly?
Honestly.
All the time.
Yeah. What do you, one that sticks in your mind?
First time, school, over, I think it was arguing with a boy who was older than me, for me older boy cousin. And yeah, I ended up on the wall for the week, let's just say.
On the wall?
On the wall, yeah. We used to have to stand on the wall for break times instead of being able to play out.
Well, on top of a wall?
No, you know, you had to stand, like, facing the wall.
Oh, facing the wall. Oh, yeah, yeah. We had that at school, yeah.
So you weren't allowed to play out and your punishment was standing facing the wall. That was in school. Yeah, that was one of the first times, I think.
Could you fight back then? Like,
I mean, I've grew up with two older lads, like, you had to be able to fight. I was the young little girl that was, you know, I couldn't always let the lads win, and I was trying to prove myself, you know, so, yeah, I knew how to handle myself. I wasn't scared. No.
Yeah, I'll believe you anyway. do you remember a time in your life where you felt as though you were fighting a losing battle, wherever that was or whenever that was?
Oh, I think that's life, isn't it? At any given stage, whether that's, you know, I don't know, academically, whether that's like socially, or whether that's like within my family or whatever, sometimes it feels like you're just put on the wall, and no matter what you say, no matter what you do, it's just not getting you anywhere. But if you're asking for specific examples, I'd probably go with school, especially senior school. When I moved out to Liverpool and went over the water, I've always struggled with school. I wasn't very good academically wise, and I felt like where we'd moved to was a bit more affluent than where I grew up in Liverpool, and I was one of only three, I think, black people in the school, and it was the first time that had even crossed my mind that, like, I was different to everybody. It was the first time I went to an all-girls school, which was just an absolute nightmare for me, because I'd always got on better with boys. I liked the things that boys did. It wasn't kind of the thing to do, to be sporty as a girl back when I was young. So I struggled with that. And then, like I say, academics-wise, I just struggled with things, and, you know, it felt like everybody else knew how to do the work, and I couldn't, and it was just an uphill struggle from there. Everything that my mum didn't want me to do, which was mess around, and, you know, she wanted me move me out of that area to get a better education and to, you know, think better and do better and be better. But at the time, I was like, I can't do it, so I didn't even try.
What was you good at school, like, academically?
Sports.
Sports. Yeah, what about anything else aside from sports, were you?
Nothing. Literally nothing. I wasn't good at maths. I was okay at English. That was like my saving grace was English. I wasn't always able to express like this how I felt or whatever, but I could write it down really well. So English was probably the only thing. And with English, I think it's more of a case that as long as you can argue why you're right, you can't be wrong. So if you feel a certain way when you read a poem or whatever, or, you know, you're reading Shakespeare and you can recite why you felt like this or what you think that it means to you, as long as you can explain why you think that, you're right. It's not like maths where it's like, what's 3 + 3? The only answer
is
6.
Yeah,
I'll get that. So the English, I was able to express myself better.
Were your parents always all right with your boxing career, even when you first started? Were they on board with it?
I think if I would have said to my mum, and I think she said this before, if I had gone and said, right, mum, I think I want to be a dancer, she'd have been more shocked at that than I want to be a boxer. Like I said, I've always done like footy and kickboxing, Thai boxing, karate. So it's not unusual for me. I think she was.
Do you think you'll get that with your girl?
She's got no interest in boxing at all.
Really?
Not at all. Like, she'll come and say, she'll know in the kids' like soft play areas when things are swinging, she'll be like, Mom, look at this. She'll hit it with a little combo. And then she should like gets off, but she's got no interest at all.
Are you happy about that? Or?
I mean, I would love for her not to have to diet and like do all that stuff, because I know, you know, I know what being hungry is, and I know I think for you to go into a sport that your parents done, and being quite successful at, then it's hard for you because you've got to live up to that and be better.
Comparisons.
Yeah, it's always going to happen. So I think that's hard. But when if I take that like myself out of the equation, and I think like all the opportunities and everything that I've got and it's brought me, I'd be stupid to deny her of that if she wanted to, because you know.
Well, we're seeing a lot of these situations with people like you talk about Nigel Benn there, with Connor and Chris, with Junior, and there's Ricky with Campbell. Yeah, it's exactly. Just, yeah, but I suppose...
Michael Brody.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Michael Brody.
I knew it'd come to you at some point.
Sorry.
Yes, if you listen to the first 3 minutes of this, you'll know exactly what Tasha was going on about there. But for yourself, though, today, like away from boxing, you're kind of in the peak of your career, shall we say? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's fair, but it's mad to think that I'm literally at the end's door. And it's been a long career, and to think I'm picking now is mad. It's wild.
What are the everyday battles for you, though, away from boxing in your life? When you get up in the morning, what are the, whether they're mental, physical, whatever they are, what are the everyday battles for Tasha Jonas?
When you're deciding, well, when I was deciding to go pro, it was the struggle of time. And I didn't feel like I was getting enough time with the baby. And to be honest, I still don't feel like I got enough time with the baby. But it was only when I listened to other working mums, that, like, obviously my group of me too, are girls, and when I listened to them saying, oh, you know, they're in the same boat. So, like, people, working mums are in the same boat. There's certain things that are expected of you. You know, my nan is a brilliant mum, and she raised 10 of her own, and, you know, she's a mum's mum. Like, she, you know, a stay-at-home mum, and she cooked and cleaned, and she, you know, if I go to my nan with any stain, she can get it off. You know, give her the worst ingredients, and she can make a meal of it. So that's what I was brought up around. My mum, similar. But then with me, I didn't feel like that was my role. And I struggled with that, and I struggled with the baby, and, you know, I was dropping her off at, like, I think 7:30, 8:00, and I wouldn't be picking her up till 5:00. And then I had, you know, 2 hours to have fun with her, get her to bed, get her washed, you know, feed her, and do them things. And it was like, we were always rushing. And, like, yeah, so, like, that's tough. And I think as a new mum, like I said, there's so many expectations of what you should be, what you should do, and so much information you're trying to take on of, you know, what your nan says, what your mum says, what the nurse says, you know, what the hospital says, and what the doctor says, and, you know, what women's group says, and what, you know, it was a lot of information to take in, and I felt overwhelmed. But yeah, you just find your own way eventually. And yeah, it was tough. It was tough at first.
Do you feel like you've missed time, though, and missed moments, etc., or not really?
With her and just in general, I think that's the sacrifice of being a sports person and an athlete. And some of the things that I've missed out of, I think are really bad. Like, I was a chief bridesmaid for my cousin's wedding, and I couldn't go because I was boxing. You know, like I say, time with the baby all the time. And, you know, just big family occasions and events, whether that's a funeral, whether that's a wedding, whether that's whatever it is, and I haven't been a part of. And, you know, I do get FOMO sometimes. And, you know, I remember going to the Olympics, and all my mates were going to Ibiza, and I was absolutely fuming about it. And I was like, make sure, like, you phone me every day. And they were like, how are you jealous of us going to Ibiza and you go to the Olympics? Well, it's just, you know, you are still a normal person. You've just got, your priorities are just a little bit different.
But that's the difference, isn't it, between where you're at now and what you've been doing in your life with your boxing career that separates you from maybe some other people? Because, like you said, 7 years ago you was a brand new mum, and all these things that you are missing out in your life because you've dedicated that time to doing that. And if you don't do that, then you may not be where you are now.
Yeah, I think people call it selfish, but it is all about self. It is about you. And, you know, world champion, mum, and, you know, whatever else, other titles, Miss GB, they're all title, other titles that people give me, but that's not who I am at my core, and who I've got to be true to myself. I've got things that I want to achieve despite of, like, all of these titles that I am, so I've got to, you know, lay on my deathbed and think, right, I've done what I want to do and be at peace with myself, or I've got to leave the sport feeling like that. So you have got to be selfish, but then it is about you. So selfish is not always a negative thing. It's about you. It is about self. So.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
I don't know as a person whether you are an emotional person, if you call yourself an emotional person. When was the last time you were having to fight back tears?
God. Probably after the Terry Harper fight. I'm not really an emotional person, if I'm honest, but there's two times within the sport I've cried, and one was when I came back from the Terry Harper fight, and the baby was like, mummy, did you win? And I was like, no, babe, but I didn't lose. And she was like, because I had sunglasses on, obviously, because my eye was cut and it had swollen and dropped by that time. She was like, can I see your eye? So I lifted my glasses up, and obviously my eyes half shut. It was this one, I think. It was half shut. And she just gave me a kiss and said, oh, you know, you're my champion, mummy. And I was just like, thanks, babe. And the other time was losing to Katie Taylor in the Olympics. I literally cried for a whole maybe 10 hours. And I phoned my mum and my dad at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, where are you? Like, I knew they wouldn't say bed. They're like, oh, just in the hotel. I was like, are you up? They were like, yeah, we're up. I was like, well, I need to get out of this Olympic Village. She was like, no, come over, we'll come and get you. I was like, no, I'll come to you, just tell me where it is and I'll come. And I went and I was half over it. And then like I was still like a bit teary. And then I laid back down on the bed after literally crying for like 10 hours on the couch, in the Olympic Village. And then the highlights of that day came on and I was one of the highlights. I just felt a tear just trickle, like where I was laying like that, it just trickled down my face and hit my cheek and I started crying again. I just cried my eyes out again.
Those two situations there, is that the only, you said you're not an emotional person, are those the only two situations that would kind of produce that kind of emotion outside of boxing? You said in general you're not an emotional person, but would it be only something that meant something like that? You made reference to the Harper draw and the Taylor loss. But outside of boxing, would you say that you're not that way?
There's times when I've cried. But yeah, I wouldn't. My nan, there's a joke between me and my nan that she He says, I've got a swinging brick. But I think everyone in our family, there's so many of us, but we've all got roles to play. And I'm like the, you know, I'm the kind of logical one, the strict one, and the one who tells people off. That's my role. So I kind of hide my emotions to play that role. And I try not to get emotionally involved because I've got to do the telling off. So I keep a lot of my emotions to myself and then I go away and deal with them, however that is. But to everybody else, they'll be like, oh, she doesn't show any, she's heartless. And it's because I go away and process my emotions away from sight.
That works for you, obviously.
Yeah, it works for me.
Have you ever had to fight demons in your life? Are you still fighting any now?
We're always fighting demons, I think. Do you want me to tell you them?
Of course I do.
I'm trying to be the best person I can be. And, you know, there's always things that pop up, whether that's past or whatever, that, you know, I don't want to be that person. And I'm not that person now, but it's took me to go through them things to realise that I don't want to be that person. Do I want to divulge them? Probably not.
Okay, fair enough. Are you content then now in what you're talking about at this part of your life?
Yeah, I think it's took a lot of lessons and life experience to you know, have them emotions and deal with them emotions and go through them emotions and come out better. Everything's not, like, when you talk to successful people, whether that's in, you know, business or sport or whatever, they're always telling you about the good bits. Everyone tells you about the good bits and everyone sees me with the belt and like, yes, you know, she's done it, she's, you know, smashed it, like, you know, she didn't have them a couple of years ago, now she's got them. And that's the success. That's not, there's so many, it's 39 years of trauma. Life is a reaction to trauma. You react and everyone reacts differently. And, you know, that's just got me where I am. Am I content? I'm happy with where I am right this second, but do I still want to keep progressing? Yeah, because you can't stand still. Life doesn't stand still. Sports doesn't stand still. So you've got to keep progressing. You've got to keep better. And you've got to keep expecting better of yourself. You can't, you know, just because you're a good person doesn't mean you can't do things better to be better or do better.
I've always thought that consent is, I don't like that word consent, because that shows me if someone's content about something is that they're kind of happy to be where they are and not push forward. I know it's not like that in every situation of your life. Like with my child, I'm content that I have one child. It's not a case of in that respect, but there are aspects of being content that doesn't show that you're willing to kind of better that situation, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, I know what you're saying. That's like, yeah, that's how I took it when you said it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a content now because I still want to keep moving forward.
Where does your fight spirit come from? I mean that in a mentally more so than kind of any physical sense.
I think, you know, nature, Liverpool, talk stuff, Jonas, everything.
All them ingredients.
All them ingredients, and then, you know, just, yeah, trying to be that person that everyone said that I couldn't be.
Would you say that you've gone through any spate of depression in your life?
Oh, I think there's been a few. I only think I've recognised it. The biggest one was coming back from America. And obviously I had these high hopes of, you know, being Mia Hamm and being sponsored by Nike and playing professional football over there, and it just didn't work out. And when I came home, I was one of the first people in my family to go to university. Everyone was made up earlier. And I felt like I let everyone down, and I felt like I was watching people around me, and there was Wayne Rooney, 16, and you know, playing for Everton. It was Beth Tweddle, just won her first Commonwealth gold. She was, you know, 15, 16, 17, whatever she was. And I was thinking, wow, I'm like 20. If I was going to be any type of sports person, I would be it already. And, you know, when now looking back, that was just a horrible, dark time where I went back. I was probably being a stereotypical, you know, I think I was living up to the stereotypes of what people said I was going to be, and that was always something that I promised myself I wouldn't do. You know, I was in, I wouldn't say gangs, but we were getting involved in that type of activity. I was going out and I was drinking a lot more than I should have, and I was getting sacked from jobs because I just weren't turning in, and it was just, but it was like an every weekend thing, and at one stage it was just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was one day. There was when, was it Tuesday? Was the one day that I never used to go out, and then something started happening over the water on a Tuesday, and I'd go there, and it got to the point where I wouldn't even have to dress up to get in clubs because the bouncers knew who I was, and I was the regular, so they just let me in regardless of what I was wearing, and it was just I was going nowhere. Didn't have no motivation, didn't know what I was going to do.
What was the turning point for you?
The turning point was me nan. We got a grenade through my nan's window in my nan's house where we was all living at the time, and it blew off my nan's leg and her finger, wedding ring finger. And I think, that was just...
Jeez.
It was just hard to take because my nan's like, literally, she's the epicentre of the family, so we were like, we didn't know whether she was going to live or not because she was in a bad way. But then it was just like, she wouldn't hurt us all, and that was the person it affected the most. And that was probably one of my biggest fears. I always had a fear that I'd have a kid and she wouldn't know me now, and that was my worst fear. That hurt.
The biggest wake-up call you could have ever had?
Yeah, the biggest.
Obviously not. It's a horrendous situation you just told us there, but for yourself, like, yeah, you couldn't have got a bigger wake-up call than that.
Yeah, it was horrible. And just to see her lying there and half lifeless and... Yeah, it was hard.
Do you fight for your child, your family? I know you've got a very close-knit family. Who fights for you? Who's in your corner, regardless of what's going on, whatever situation it is, whether it's day or night, who's there for you?
I think family and friends. Like, I've got actually a few fans that I've met that I'm really close to now. But yeah, my family and friends mainly, they're the ones that say all the bad stuff. And, you know, friends choose you. You don't, your family, you can't choose. You're stuck with them regardless, but your friends choose you. And there's been situations, whatever they've been, where I know that I've literally got friends that would do anything for me. And I know with my family that regardless of whether I was mischievous or not, would love me regardless, so...
All those things you've gone through, like, how old are you now? 39?
Do you have to bring that up?
38. You already mentioned it.
I'm 38.
30?
I'm 39 in June.
39 in June. But where you sit now, and obviously in regards to your career as well, because not that this podcast is about that, but we know I've been there when you've had them, as in been there watching when you've had those moments in your career, but from everything that's gone on in your life, whether it's boxing or outside things you've just told us, to sit here now, kind of where you are, there must be, I know you're not finished yet, we know you're not finished yet, but you must look at that and think, look at where I am now as well.
I don't think you appreciate a journey until you've
till it's done.
Till it's done, till the time's done and over. It's the same with, you know, the Olympics. Literally, you can ask for ages, you can ask, you know, Caris or whoever, Caroline, how many times I messaged them throughout them Olympics. I was like, enjoy the moment. Same with Vala and, you know, Joe Cordiano, who went to the last ones before that. I was like, make sure you enjoy the moment. I know because you're so results driven when you're an athlete, that it's hard to enjoy that moment. And it's only now it's being gone and you look back that I think, wow, that was something else. But I didn't feel like that when I was in it. And the same, I think the same with boxing, you know, I think the same with life, you know, some of the best things and, you know, most best quality of stuff you get is when people's on death's door and, you know, they tell you things and they appreciate what the journey that they've been on. And I think, yeah, you've got to, I do try and live more in the now and like be thankful for it. But yeah, I try and live in the now and just appreciate everything that comes, and whatever comes was meant for me, and whatever doesn't wasn't.
Final one here. What drives that fight within you? What is it? What is the main factors that push you and drive that fight within you?
Push me. Me fighting against me.
Say that again.
Me fighting against me.
Yeah.
Just trying to be better, do better, be better. And I did used to look for, you know, other people's appraisal of me. And you look to other people for, like, value. But I don't do that anymore. I value myself. There's a few people that I take on board what they say. You know, my mum, my nan, my cousins, some of my best mates. But I don't look for that kind of acceptance from others. I just do what I want.
It's the best way to be, isn't it?
Well, it's led me here, so.
Okay, Natasha, much appreciate you coming on Raw, The Fight Within. Like I said, I think I first time I interviewed you, I think it was before you actually turned pro. I'm pretty certain it was. I'm not 100% sure.
It was at a show. It might have been Callum Smith.
Because your press conference to announce you turning pro was here, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But
it was this.
What's that?
It was dance this.
It was, yeah. But yeah, no, the point I was making was, I think like a lot of this stuff that you were talking about, I didn't know. And I don't know, there'd be people obviously close to you that you've spoken about things there that I didn't have a clue about. So I do appreciate you sharing that on here.
Nice one.
Okay, thank you very much for listening. Make sure you comment, like and subscribe, and we will catch you next week on Raw, The Fight Within. Thank you very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.